And as we mentioned on last week's show, the terms you use to describe something don't change what it is. But people like to phrase things in a certain way so they can feel better about what they believe, what they advocate, and what they do. Let me illustrate the point using the examples of the war on drugs and gun control. Let's make it into a psychological exercise while we're at it. If you're for gun control, say the following out loud. I support gun control. That was easy, wasn't it? Now, using more specific terms, which you know are literally accurate, say the exact same thing, but in a different way. It would go like this. I support men with guns forcibly capturing and caging anyone caught possessing certain weapons, even if the person hasn't threatened or harmed anyone. Now, saying that isn't as comfortable, is it? Is there any part of that that's literally inaccurate? No. You already knew what all gun control actually implies, physically capturing and locking up people who are caught possessing certain things. Okay, now we don't want to leave the Republicans out, so let's do the equivalent on that side. If you support drug prohibition, say the following out loud. I support drug prohibition. That's easy enough. How about using more specific terms, terms you know are literally accurate? How about if you say the exact same thing in a different way? It would go something like this. I support men with guns forcibly capturing and caging anyone caught possessing certain mind-altering substances, even if the person hasn't threatened or harmed anyone. Now, I bet putting it that way, it wasn't so fun to say. It's perfectly accurate, as you know. But again, it makes people less comfortable to state the raw reality of it so bluntly. The euphemism, the war on drugs, sounds so much nicer and so much more righteous. Now again, I'm not trying to foist my values onto you. You might think using drugs is a bad idea. You might think having a gun. You might think having a gun is a bad idea. And other people can argue with you that using drugs or having a gun is a good idea. But that's not the point here. In your daily life, you don't drag someone away and put them in a cage every time you see him doing something you think is a bad idea. But when you vote, every single law that your candidate or your party enacts is telling someone somewhere, you will not do this. And if we catch you disobeying us, we'll take some of your money or we'll take you and put you in a cage. Now, that's widely accepted as legitimate and justified when it's done via law. We're all raised to believe that when government issues commands and imposes taxes and things like that, that it's not bound by the same morality that you and I are bound by. It's imagined to have the right to do things that we don't have the right to do. That is why you don't feel bad asking it to do things to your neighbor that you would never in a million years do to your neighbor on your own, because you would know it would be wrong. Frederick Douglass, a former slave, once said this: no man can put a chain about the ankle of his fellow man without at last finding the other end fastened about his own neck. And after this break, we will see just how true that is. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Markin Rose. Now that we've looked at what you are doing to your neighbors when you vote, when you play the game called democracy, that we're all taught is so great and wonderful, let's look at what your neighbors are doing to you when they vote. Now, some of this is obvious, and lots of people already complain about it. If you're a Democrat, you might not be thrilled about the fact that your tax dollars are funding war. If you're a Republican, you might not be thrilled about the fact that you're being taxed to give money to all sorts of people who haven't earned it. No big surprise there. People grumble about having to support things they don't like. But we're taught that that's just how things are, and that democracy is still wonderful, so we should all just put up with it and deal with it. Well, allow me to rub a little salt in your wounds here. Let's start with the liberals. The money you earn, some of it is taken from you and by taxes, and some of what's taken from you is used to buy bullets and bombs, which are used in every war to do things that end up maiming and killing innocent people. In other words, your time and effort, your very lifeblood taken from you via taxes is making that possible. You are supplying the funding that kills innocent people. How do you feel about that? Not too happy? Well, let me talk to the conservatives. The money you earn, some of it is taken from you, and some of that goes to paying people to sit around not working, doing nothing productive, shooting up drugs, and having more children out of wedlock so they get a bigger welfare check. Your time and effort, your very lifeblood, is being used to make that happen. The child of a single crackhead mother who grows up in squalor and public housing, doomed to be an uneducated druggie, dependent upon government handouts for the rest of his probably short, miserable life, that condition exists because you are paying for it. It is your time and effort making it possible. So how do you feel about that? Now, I know that whether you're a liberal or a conservative, when I was talking to the other one, you were complaining, maybe out loud, maybe just inside your own head, you were complaining about the stereotype and defending the agenda that you think is virtuous, necessary, and good, whether it's social programs or the military. Well, guess what? I don't care. I don't care what your complaint is, and I don't even care if you're right. Because the point is that whatever political party and agenda you support, there are others who see that agenda as horribly destructive and evil. And you can tell them, no, no, it's really good and useful. That's not going to sway them any more than it sways you when they tell you that, no, their agenda is good and useful. The result of this is that no matter who wins any election, lots of people are going to be forced to fund things that they think are immoral and destructive. The recent bailouts is an example that lots of people on both sides are upset about. In short, the economy started going downhill, and the politicians decided that they would take money from you via taxes and give many billions of dollars in handouts to giant banks and corporations. But don't worry, the politicians assured you that it was necessary and that it would fix everything, which it didn't. So how happy are you about that? While you were working hard, trying to provide for your family, trying to make ends meet, how did you like knowing that the fruits of your labor, the results of your time and effort, were being swiped from you and given away to millionaires? And incidentally, this was done by Republican and Democrat politicians, so don't bother with the finger pointing in this case. Allow me to rub it in some more. If you're a liberal, how do you like knowing that your hard work is being used to provide the weapons and prisons that are part of the war on drugs that lock up many thousands of people whose only sin was to smoke a joint? There are actually millions of people in prison because of this. You paid for the prison they're in. What do you think of that? If you're a conservative, how do you like knowing that you're funding the National Endowment for the Arts when it pays for art that is designed to malign and insult Christianity and religion in general? Or if you're a liberal, how do you like knowing that you're helping pay subsidies to the tobacco industry? If you're a conservative, how do you like knowing that you're being forced to fund the leftist indoctrination agenda of the National Education Association? Now, I could go on back and forth for ages for Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, but that's enough for now. There's a reason I'm rubbing this in, and it isn't just to be mean. This is the essence of democracy. One group being forced to fund the ideas and priorities of another group. When you vote, this is the game you play, seeing who can force his values onto the other guy. Now, do you think that's how people should treat each other? Does that jive with how you usually treat other people? Or do you believe that in the context of politics and democracy, it's a good thing to have a never-ending conflict with different factions perpetually trying to forcibly impose their ideas and priorities on each other? Because that's what democracy is. If you think that's okay, if you like the idea of forcing other people to fund things that they view as destructive and immoral, then, oh well, I guess you're just that kind of person. But if you're starting to have doubts about that great and wonderful perpetual war of all against all, known as democracy, well, good. Glad to hear it. But why do we keep playing this game of voting, fighting to see who gets to control who for the next couple years? Well, we've covered the issue of you trying to foist your values on your neighbor and him trying to foist his values on you, but now it's time to look at the other player in the game, the one who is laughing at both of you. What do both major political parties have in common? Well, they both agree that lots and lots and lots of money should be taken from you and all of your neighbors via taxes and then spent by the politicians. Now, they may bicker about exactly who should be taxed and how much, and they obviously argue about how to spend the money, but they all accept, and they want you to accept, the assumption that government should and must take trillions of dollars from people who earned it. All of the politicians of both major parties agree that you should be forced to hand over a bunch of what you earn for them to spend the way they see fit. Now, you'd think that would make everyone mad at the politicians. But that is where the game of democracy distracts and deceives the people. You see, as long as the politicians can keep you and your neighbor vehemently arguing over how, quote-unquote, public funds should be spent, with each of you trying for the chance to make the other guy pay for what you want, then neither of you are going to notice how you're being used by the politicians. If you both accept the premise of taxation and public spending as necessary and good, then the politicians can count on the fact that you and your neighbor will forever be at each other's throats, bickering over what your tax dollars should be spent on, instead of considering the radical, extremist, drastic idea that maybe, just maybe, you should spend your money and your neighbor should spend his. Okay, that's not really that drastic and extreme. And would that be in keeping with your moral code? Spending your own money and letting your neighbor spend his? Does that fit well with live and let live? Yep, sure does. Does it fit with do unto others as you would have done unto you? Yep, fits perfectly. So why aren't we doing that? Why are we playing the game of perpetual conflict known as democracy instead? When we come back from this break, we'll find out. Because someone is benefiting from this game. And it's not you, and it's not your neighbor. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.